Hi, I'm Georgina Hudson from GeorginaHudson.net. This podcast has been created to support you in your path of self-awareness and well-being and to draw a roadmap together to align mind and heart. Today's topic is the second part of how we can resolve conflicts in a more effective way for everybody involved. For more information about what I do and about me, you can visit my website on GeorginaHudson.net or my Instagram account, GeorginaHudson.coach. Hello, hello, hello. How are you today? What's up, people? This week's topic is part two of learning how to cope with conflicts in ways that are effective for everybody involved. Thank you all for the support you have given us and for making us feel like you are right here with us, listening to the episode and taking down notes. In fact, one of my clients today told me she was taking down notes while listening, so she took note of what you said. I'm saying you because I've got Luciano by my side.
Hi there. Hello.
In this episode, we're going to explore many techniques with plenty of examples to help us illustrate what we want to illustrate and to help you become more assertive in your daily interactions. This will surely improve your relationships and enhance the quality of your life. In the first episode, just to refresh your memory, we talked about building rapport, avoiding why questions and starting to use what questions, and listening more and talking less, which is active listening. But before we start, let's say hello to Luciano. Hello, how are you?
Hello again. And today we are going to talk about three keys to manage conflict. We are going to talk about smart and powerful questions. We are going to talk about control of emotions during conflict. And we will also talk about setting boundaries. By the way, there are two other podcasts related to this that I think you will really enjoy, where we dive deeper into this topic, which are three ways to set boundaries and learning to set healthy boundaries. You can find them on Georgina's website. But as for now, I'm going to start with a familiar example to break the ice. It's something that happened to us, to Georgina and myself, many, many times. Imagine we are in a social meeting, in a social setting, and I crack a joke that Georgina finds inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think happens next with which could be Georgina's reactions? A, she stays quiet. B, she gets mad and tells me off. C, she controls herself but sets a boundary. And D, she expresses her discomfort and asks curiously why I said it. I'm sure you have guessed that it's not A, that she stays quiet. She's not that kind of person. And after all these years, she doesn't shout me.
Come on.
Shout at me either. So B is out too. In any case, it could be a bit of A, because it is very likely that at the time she shuts up to avoid an intervention in public, you know?
Yeah.
And after that, try to find the time and space to speak in the tone of C or D, which are limits and questions. But after that, wait, there could be an intervention in public if what I said was really out of place or disrespectful to her. But normally, George's reaction is to look for a quiet moment to ask questions and establish boundaries.
Right? Yes, and one of the things we said, sorry for the interruption, in the previous podcast, you remember, it was to avoid why questions. So when you mentioned the fourth possibility, she expresses her discomfort and asks curiously why I said that. Maybe we could change that. We could tweak that a little and say and ask curiously what prompted me to say
exactly
that.
Exactly. You know. Also, so an example of a powerful question could be with an introduction. Look, It makes me uncomfortable when you say certain things. What has motivated you to say them?
Mm-hmm.
No, like in the same line that you were talking.
Right.
And here the goal is simply to show that you are open to understanding, because after a question mark, there is what follows a question mark?
Listening,
you know. So you are open to understanding and you are improving communication and you are avoiding future misunderstandings, right?
Right. And I have to say, the example you gave our listeners made me very nervous. Because,
I don't know why.
As you probably know, Luciano, you know, you never know with him because he loves jokes. And many, many times, you know, even when we can edit the recordings that we make when we record the podcast, he says, he teases me during the podcast and I say, oh, please delete that part. I didn't like it. But he wouldn't do that because he wants to torture me a little bit. Yeah. Anywho, the ability to ask good questions is essential in effective communication, in conflict resolution. I know it can be like, it sounds scary to say the ability to ask good questions.
Yeah, like, oh.
What's that?
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. The same is true when you're studying coaching. They tell you about the power of asking powerful questions. And powerful questions that you are like,
you were eliminated.
Am I capable? Mm-hmm. Exactly. But it's simpler said. It's simpler done than said. As you mentioned, Luciano, asking questions, let's maybe get rid of the good or the powerful, helps us approach difficult situations with curiosity, with an open mind, and it helps clarify misunderstandings, if I'm getting what you're saying.
Exactly. When someone says something hurtful or you feel unheard, for instance, asking questions can be an effective way to diffuse tension. Mm-hmm. For instance, if someone harshly criticizes you, instead of responding defensively, you could ask, what made you say that?
That's good.
So this not only shows you are willing to listen, but it also opened the door to a more constructive conversation, you know?
Right. I still remember when I was very young, like I was a child. And
2 years ago.
Yes, but I was younger. When I was a child or, you know, a very young adolescent at home, sometimes, especially my mom, may she rest in peace, she used to call me unfriendly. Oh, you are so unfriendly sometimes. You're so cold. That never sat well with me because I was shy, that's true, even if it sounds unbelievable to all of you listening to us. But I used to withdraw because I was a little bit introverted. And I don't know, because I used to be such a good girl. In fact, I think I, you know, suffered so much because I was a good girl. I was suffering from good girl syndrome. But my mom used to call me unfriendly, maybe when she didn't like things I did. I don't know. I don't know why she did.
The tag, no? That thing.
It was like a label. I don't know. Like, yes. Like, you know, I was shy. That was it. And unfortunately for me, I didn't have the tools. I suffered a lot. It was really, really sad. And this reminds me of a client of mine who went through something similar in her family. You know, when families label you are this type of person. She became like, you are too sensitive. We're going to talk to you because you are too sensitive. It's hard to explain things to you because you become too sensitive. And since I learned the hard way, because this is not anything you are going to learn in a coaching course or in a psychology course. This is something you learn in life. So I suggested she handle the situation by asking, what do you mean by that? You know? And so by asking her family, the people, you know, in the family that called her sensitive, what do you mean by that? And I suggested she did that with curiosity because she was so like hurt, that she could not only clarify the intention people had behind mm-hmm. the comment, like you always start crying, or sometimes you go to your bedroom and then you don't talk to us, or you give us the silent treatment. So she learned a lot of things about herself, but she was very open to listen. That's why she asked. Mm-hmm. And she could also express how she felt, you know, without turning the conversation into a conflict, so it didn't escalate into a conflict.
Yeah, you open the game to you allow the other person to realize maybe the other person made a mistake in, mm-hmm. in the way she constructed the question, or yeah. there was prejudice or something. So we need to get used to respectfully and intelligently questioning others.
Yes.
If we want to be assertive and effective.
Yeah.
In every situation, but especially in conflict.
Yeah.
Imagine you have asked your parents, what do you mean when you call me unfriendly? Imagine the power of that question.
Yeah. I wish I had it.
You know, but you would have forced them to reflect on the feelings and stop labeling you with something so hurtful. And you are not victimizing yourself. You are not saying, you are labeling me.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You're saying, what do you mean when you call me unfriendly?
Yeah, because I really didn't know. And I think it's because I was so shy that my mother was so extroverted that she felt like embarrassed because I didn't get involved in many things she wanted me to get involved. But yes, you're right.
Yeah, but sometimes when we set a boundary and someone crosses it, asking questions is a reminder of that boundary, mm-hmm. that boundary exists.
Yeah.
You gently remind the other person about the boundary. For instance, if a friend keeps insisting you to do something you don't want to do,
right,
you could ask, why do you think I should do that? Yeah, this gives them the chance to reconsider their request and become more aware of your limits.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, this is so true when people become sober, or when they decide to cut down on alcohol, and then friends are like, oh, don't be silly. It's just one drink. Oh, yeah, don't be a bore. You know, it's just, you know, one glass of wine, one beer. And this, why do you think I should do that? You know, I wanted to become sober because of this or that reason. But why are you insisting on that, no?
Yeah, and asking questions also shows that we are willing to listen and understand. As we mentioned before, this can ease tension, as we mentioned before. And for example, another example could be if a friend asks another, hey, why do you look so terrible lately?
Oh my goodness.
You know, yeah. And inside that question, there is judgment. You know, it is very likely that the other person might feel offended.
Yeah.
Instead, you could ask, hey, John, how are you feeling?
Exactly.
You notice something different in John.
Yeah.
In your mind, in your brain, you perhaps imagine John is sad.
Yeah.
You know? Or angry, I don't know. But you don't say that. You just ask openly, how are you feeling, John, without judging? And after that, if the conversation flows, then you can add to the conversation, have you felt tired lately? You know, then you add, and that is not judgment, because you are inside the conversation, yeah. A bi-directional conversation. So what something else and more constructively, what would help you feel better right now?
Yes.
You know, and these are powerful questions. This not only shows empathy, but also opens up space for the other person to express themselves. It is a safe space.
You're
communicating safety. This is a safe space to talk.
And this is so connected to self-awareness that we mentioned in the introduction to our podcast. Because when somebody asks somebody else, oh, what is going on? You look terrible. Why do you look so terrible? Or why do you look so... What happened? Suddenly I see you are a little overweight, you know? like somebody who has just delivered a baby. You know, it's so uncomfortable when people tell you, what happened? You look really overweight.
That question is forbidden.
Forbidden, but it happened to me. It was terrible. Yeah. Yes.
I remember someone said, the second is coming next week.
Let's explain. So I had delivered my first baby, and then after 3 days, we went to the supermarket together, and then suddenly appears a third person, and that third person was accompanied by his wife. I hope you're following. So I was in the supermarket, tummy after delivering my baby. This person who saw me with his wife said, oh, congratulations. And he looked at my tummy. I don't know if he touched my tummy. And he said, oh, don't tell me. And he touched his cheeks. And then suddenly, Channel was super funny. He said, oh, no. She delivered the baby, but the second is coming.
Next week.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So let's review the art of asking questions.
Yeah.
Number one, when we receive a hurtful comment, we have an opportunity for improvement. Let's take that chance. Instead of reacting defensively, ask questions. And a good question de-escalates conflicts, opens dialogue, clarifies misunderstandings, and the most important thing, it puts the focus on what really matters, and also remembers limits. A good question is a reminder of limits. For example, powerful question. What made you say that? What did you mean by that? Why do you think I should do that? And number four, if we are the one who initiates a communication, please avoid judgment. Instead of, are you tired?
Right.
Try with, how do you feel?
Yes, absolutely. And the second topic for today that we discussed before the episode is the importance of controlling our emotions, not in the sense of repressing them, but the importance of, you know, responding to whatever is happening in our inner world that can distort communication. So it's crucial to stay calm. And in my sessions, I see this a lot. It happens to us too. It happens to everybody.
Yeah, it happens to all of us.
Yes, all of us. But I've seen so many people react impulsively in tense moments. It's not about judging anyone. It's not about, you know, telling you, oh, when you are tense, you usually feel, you see, she's saying that when we are tense, we usually react impulsively. It's not about judging. We're human. But it's normal to explode, but it's not ideal. Okay?
Yeah, and it happens especially when something really pushes our buttons.
Right.
You know, I'm learning to take a moment to calm down, so I don't respond defensively or say something I will regret afterwards, which would only make things worse, you know? So now I try to remember that if my emotions are about to take over, it's better to pause and reflect before speaking.
Yeah, exactly. And you're reminding me of one of my clients. Oh, this is a great example. And so she told me she had an argument with her partner. And she got so frustrated because she didn't feel heard, she didn't feel understood, that she got overwhelmed by her feelings, and she ended up yelling. And this led to a cycle of accusations, and they never addressed the real issue, which was that she didn't feel supported with the household chores. It was a teeny thing. For her, it was important, of course. Not to dismiss her feelings, of course. But the issue is that he ended up yelling, and then that became the focus of the problem. So her outburst confused her partner because her partner didn't know what was going on. And she ended up feeling very guilty. So that's a clear example of how emotions can distort communication in a conflict.
Yeah, super clear. We can't completely ignore our emotions because we are not robots. You
know? Yeah.
We are not robots. But if we don't regulate them, we just end up increasing the tension instead of resolving the issue. We are creating new conflicts instead of focusing in resolving, in finding a solution to the real, actual, current conflict. Yeah.
And I would like to highlight again that when we say controlling emotions, we are never ever saying repress them. We are talking about attending what is going on, attending, tending to our emotions, responding to them, which is very different to reacting from them. So we want to respond to our emotions, to handle our emotions in such a way that they don't interfere with the communication I have with the person I'm having trouble with or a conflict with. And one technique that I recommend, and it might seem to be very simple, but is prepare before entering an important conversation with someone you have a conflict. And if you want to express yourself, it's better not to improvise at the moment of speaking. Communicate thoughtfully, okay?
Yeah, if the conflict arises at the very moment, it is sudden, then you don't have the time to prepare.
No.
But if you are at home and you have an important meeting with this person next day, so yeah, prepare yourself.
Exactly.
And find the words.
Exactly. Exactly. That is very fortunate when we have time to prepare. If you don't have time to prepare, please anchor yourself in your breathing. And I know some of you might be rolling your eyes, but anchoring ourselves in our breath is a superpower because it calms our nervous system. It not only relaxes us, but it also gives us time to choose the ways and the words we want to express.
Yeah, and instead of being slaves of our emotions, we can choose how to respond. And this not only improves the quality of our interactions, but also strengthens our relationships in the long run.
Exactly, exactly. And to those listening to us, let me share something personal.
Oh, no, not again, please.
Poor people, leave them alone. No, this is going to be funny, I promise. So a few days ago, I was feeling very frustrated because we were having dinner late. In fact, we have been having dinner a bit late for my taste. And then it's difficult to get up the following day, etc., etc. And I prefer to have everything, you know, like in order and tidied up at a certain time every night. So I mentioned this to Luciano. I mentioned that I had to chase everyone to help, which didn't help the choice of words. And then I blurted out, "Luciano, what time did you get home today?" And he very innocently replied to me, 7:38 maybe. And I suddenly, and with a very tense note, I said, "Well, there's the problem."
And then that led me to say, but you finished work at 8:30, yeah, meaning later than me. In fact, you ended 8:32. And at that point, we were more focused on who was right than solving the real issue.
Exactly.
So when emotions are running high, it's easy to stray from the actual goal. Next time, we need to remember that the purpose is to find the solution, not to stack up reasons to argue, not to create new conflicts. Yeah. There is a conflict, let's solve that conflict. Let's avoid new conflicts. So
yeah.
I remember something you told me often, Georgie: do not act on your emotions.
Yeah, that's right. We may feel angry, we may feel frustrated, we may feel upset, and all those feelings are completely valid. The question is not to get rid of the feeling. The question is to notice the feeling, but not act on the feeling. So the best thing is to respond and to focus on finding a solution. And now you are reminding me of that situation we had at the restaurant. There is a restaurant here in Barcelona which is difficult to find a table at. And so we had visitors from Texas, from the United States, and, you know, we had made a reservation and there was a mix-up. I don't know what happened, but when we arrived...
A smaller table than we couldn't fit in one table.
Yes, the table they had saved for us was very small for the number of people we were. So we all got a little exasperated. We all expressed how frustrating that was.
We started complaining.
Disrespectful.
I mentioned it during my phone call, defensively.
Yes. And the Maitra, sorry for my French, because it's awful, but the person who was in charge of reservations was listening. She was silent. And suddenly she said, okay, I see your point, but why don't we focus on finding a solution here, shall we? Yeah. And we were like... Okay, yes.
That's clever.
Yes, yes. So we remained very quiet and we were like, yes, let's do that. So it was a wonderful example.
Yeah, yeah. So, Georgie, let's review this second part, this second key to manage conflict for conflict resolution for today. So it is control of emotions and reactions. And I would like to highlight as a resume two aspects. One, emotions can distort communication.
Yeah.
Yeah. When this happens, new paths are opened and the goal is lost.
Yeah.
And the second, when emotion is taking you over, pause. Make a silence, breathe, because this will, on one hand, relax you. And on the other hand, this will give you time to choose wise words.
Yeah, absolutely. And another topic is learning how to set boundaries. And this is probably one of my top five things I deal with clients in my sessions. But it's difficult. It's difficult to set boundaries in a clear and assertive way. But when we set boundaries at the right time and the right place, we avoid so much conflict later. So many people are afraid to say no because they are afraid to express their boundaries and make somebody uncomfortable, and they want to avoid conflicts. So it's not a topic that is easy to deal with. I don't know how you see it in your environments, Luciano.
Yeah, in daily life, I've noticed that people often take on more than they can handle. Just to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
You know? They overload themselves with things just to avoid saying no. For example, when my friends invite me out and I don't feel like going, I might say yes because of, I don't know, what may they think about me saying no. And they are much fun and I care about them, but I would actually prefer to stay home because I'm tired or whatever. So not setting boundaries can lead to frustration and discomfort afterwards. Why? Because it is like some kind of, you feel like a traitor to yourself, you know, because you didn't respect yourself.
In fact, it is an act of self-betrayal.
Yeah, instead of saying yes to everything, I've learned to be more clear about my boundaries. I can say, look, guys, I love hanging out with you, but today I'd rather rest. Or I'd love to, I already have plans at home.
Luciano, with a hand on your heart, has this ever been a problem with you?
No, I always go out.
Yes, that is true. Anyways, but this is exactly what happens with many of my clients. And I talk about my client situations because I want to make this alive and I want you to show real case examples. And they often tell me, as I told you before, that they feel guilty about asserting their boundaries. And to be honest with you, I am very different from Luciano, and I felt the same way when I was learning to set boundaries. I felt guilty. I felt confused. People told me they are afraid of coming across as rude. I felt the same, of not being understood, or afraid of facing a negative reaction from the other person. So it's very important, once you learn to set boundaries, to accept and to take in the concept that being assertive doesn't mean being aggressive, defensive, or playing the victim. That is completely different. So here Luciano and I have prepared a few examples with possible ways of responding to situations where somebody crosses a line. So
you ask the questions and I simulate a good way to respond to that.
Okay. All this is prepared, and we're going to be using my drama skills, and Luciano doesn't need them, I promise you. So, inappropriate comments, for example. Somebody makes an inappropriate comment and they tell you, I don't think Marta can handle this client because, you know, between you and me, she's too emotional for 10 situations and she might lose it.
Look, I appreciate your opinion, but let's avoid those kind of comments, as they are not constructive, you know? When you do that, you are setting a clear boundary.
So clear and so important for this sexist kind of comment.
I do not like gossiping. I do not like
sexist comments.
Judgment or sexist comments or whatever.
Exactly. Now we have another example for discomfort with a comment. So imagine somebody gets divorced or separates from their partner. Yes, they probably screwed up, and somebody comes and says, you know, being single, I will give you the time to think about the mistakes you made.
And I could answer, look, I feel uncomfortable with comments like that. So what was the intention behind what you just said?
I think I love that, because when you ask somebody, what was the intention behind what you said? It's like, you know, when my parents told me I'm friendly, what was the intention behind what you said? It's like, did you try to hurt me on purpose? So,
is it something you didn't take the time to think about this and you just throw it up?
Exactly. No? And then we wrote an example for personal time. So this is a very, very common example. Imagine a colleague messages you about work problems at 9 p.m., interrupting your family dinner. What can you do, Luciano?
Oh, I love that you trust me and that I can get to listen to what you have to say. Could we talk about it tomorrow morning, first thing? I'm having dinner with my family like right now.
Yes. And you know, bear in mind that people might not get your point. I had a friend who called
face
me.
Face it. Let's face it.
Yes.
I don't care. I'm with my family.
Yes.
You like it, whether you like it or not. And it is very important in this example that we should avoid the but. Because imagine the same phrase, but adding the connector but in the middle. If I said, I love that you trust me and that I can get to listen to what you have to say, but could we talk about it tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. You are deleting in the other person's brain the part that you love, the trust the other person has in you.
Yeah,
because you have said things that are very important. You were talking about trust and being grateful for the possibility to listen. And when you say but, the other person's brain is deleting, because but deleted. It is like the delete key for the brain.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And the person says, okay, and but what?
Yeah.
And forgets about the... So...
And I was saying, sorry for the interruption, I had a friend who used to call me at any time, sometimes very late at night, sometimes when I was having dinner, and I am thinking about whether I used the but that you are mentioning now, like
with a single T.
Yes, with a single T. Oh, sorry, Luciano, please behave. So, so this friend of mine called me and I said things like, you know, it's very late, I feel tired, but we could talk tomorrow, and then, you know, maybe that didn't help. But to be honest with you, I lost that friend. When I set boundaries, when I gathered the strength to set boundaries after so many years, she got offended and she never talked to me back. So, you know, maybe, that can happen.
Maybe having respect to yourself is the price
you yes.
have to pay for that. Okay, you lose a friend. Maybe it is not a good relationship for you.
Exactly. Exactly. You
know? And it is important to remember that it is not about being selfish. When you set boundaries, you are not being selfish. It is about taking care of yourself.
Right, exactly. It's so important to not betray ourselves.
Yeah. And one more thing about setting boundaries. I was thinking today, what happens when there are asymmetrical power relationships? Mm-hmm. And you need to set a boundary there, because it is one thing. One thing is to set limits between equals, for example, between friends or between colleagues at work. There is a degree of discomfort to overcome, you know, to decide whether or not to accept a friend's invitation. Mm-hmm. But if it is an asymmetrical authority relationship or power relationship, you know, the difference between authority and power. You authority is delegated, power is earned, but anyway, there is a difference there. But the discomfort may be greater because the consequence of that limit may have, because there could be a higher risk.
Yes. Yes, but we need to gather the strength. If somebody's crossing a boundary, even if it's a person who is above you in terms of power, we need to say no.
It is more difficult. Imagine.
It is more difficult. Yes, it is.
Same situation, different actors. For instance, a friend invites you to a bar. A client invites you to a bar.
Right.
Your boss invites you to a bar.
It's or very
a student
different.
Invites you to a bar.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes. I remember, and I hope this helps all the people out there, especially women. I remember the director of studies of a place where I used to work, and there is a reason why I don't work there anymore, who invited me to talk at a bar about a problem we had, and we had a conflict and we needed to resolve it. He arrived 20 minutes late. And because he was the director of studies, I very sillily waited for 20 minutes. I remember texting one of my best friends and saying, look, he hasn't turned up and I've been waiting for 20 minutes. So she told me, please leave, you know, there are boundaries. You cannot be there waiting. He has already created all these conflicts and you are there waiting like forever. And then when I gathered the strength to stand up and leave, and it was maybe almost half an hour after the hour we were supposed to meet, he arrived. And what did I do? I sat down and I listened to him out of fear.
And then you feel frustrated.
And I felt very angry at myself because I didn't leave the coffee shop before. I don't know what happened to me.
The
but
challenge
I think
of
it's the fear.
Setting the limit may be greater, but we must also address it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 And not justify and not justify.
Good.
So agreed. Limits, powers. We have two more podcasts on boundaries, as Luciana mentioned. We have one, which is three ways to set boundaries. And two, there is another, which is learning to set healthy boundaries. So go get them on the GeorginaHudson.net website. You're going to enjoy them. They are very short and sweet. They must be 10, 15 minutes long. So nice.
So
Luciana, would you like to summarize?
Yeah. This third topic of today,
right?
This third key to manage conflicts, which is clear and assertive boundaries. We talked about Not setting boundaries can bring us frustration. Setting limits, regardless of what other people may say. Setting limits without guilt. Setting limits is not about being selfish, it is about taking care of oneself. Being assertive does not mean being aggressive. Mm-hmm. Avoid the bot. Asymmetrical authority or power relationships play a role in setting boundaries.
Yes.
And there are more podcasts. There are two more podcasts that you can listen to at Georgina's website.
Yes, and could you please...
About boundaries, setting boundaries.
Sorry for the interruption. Could you please summarize the 6 points we mentioned in the two podcasts about resolving conflicts effectively?
Okay.
Part one and part two. I think only the titles are enough because then people can go
the first
and listen.
Part, we talked about building rapport, listen more and talk less, and ask what instead of why. The second part, today, we were talking about the art of asking questions, powerful questions, setting clear boundaries, and also the control of emotions during a conversation.
Right, absolutely. We hope these tips on how to improve assertive communication in the context of conflicts are helpful for you. Remember, it's a process that you can learn, and it's something that you can improve over time. Some of my clients are like, I will never learn to be assertive, I feel so afraid. Believe me, you can learn. You can learn. It's one step at a time, and it's practice, practice, practice. Think of one or two people who need to hear this message, and please share this podcast with them. This is the easiest way to help one another. Also, we appreciate your feedback, your recommendations, and lots of star ratings, because this drives us and inspires us to offer this free content. It's a lot of work, but we do it with so much hope to help 1, 2, 20, 200, we don't know, you know, all the people we can as consistently as we do.
And remember, the ultimate goal of all these, the ultimate challenge, is to apply this live, mm-hmm. in real life, with
yes.
the real
yes.
conflict that appears suddenly.
Yes.
And in order to do that, to have that clarity of mind at that very moment, it is very important that you practice fail until it goes naturally.
Yes, you handle it, you have a handle of it. Yes, until next podcast, and we're going to see what we're going to. I have something in mind with the guest, maybe.
What would it be?
Yes, I have to talk about you. I have to talk to you about this. But for the time being, I'm sending you
a big hug.